This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right, if you have your message notes, take those out. If you have your Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we're going to be. It might take you a little bit to get there. But today, you know the idea of a soundtrack. Soundtrack is the music that plays behind whatever you're watching on the screen. Today, let that phrase be that soundtrack in your mind. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, that we can live and we can get through anything that is in front of us. The video talks about how life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And that there's going to be things that we're going to go through, you and I. Sometimes it's going to be beautiful, everything's going well. Other times it's going to be a struggle. There may be things that we bounce up against. And that's what this series is about, is really just what do you do when you run into something a little bit difficult, when you run into a challenge, and to remind ourselves that because he lives, because we have a living Savior, a risen Savior, we can face and get through anything. And I hope that's what you're getting out of this series. I hope that you're connecting in some ways, and I hope that you're encouraged in some ways as well. Today we're looking at a very specific thing that we put out as a series, as a survey, and this is something that people wanted to talk about. It's this question: what do I do when I feel like giving up? And my question today is, have you ever felt that way? You ever felt like giving up on something? It may be something simple, like you want to give up on saving money and you just rather spend it. That happens, right? Or give up on getting out of debt. And you're going, okay, that was good for a while, but I'm kind of done with that. Have you ever wanted to give up at work? And you're just done and you just want to get out of the place and be finished with it. You ever want to give up on a project that you've been assigned? Or have you ever wanted to give up on, like, fixing up the house or doing the yard? Like, I'm just done with this. It's so hard. I don't know what to do with it. I think at some point we all feel like giving up on something. I think students, sometimes you just want to give up on school, right? This is the dangerous time of year. I heard it actually starts a little bit earlier than this, but for our seniors, senioritis kicks in. You go, I just don't know if I want to go back to school anymore. And I want to finish my studies, and maybe you've been there as well. And so giving up is part of the human condition. But there's other things that are a little bit harder to think about. Like some people, it may be, I want to give up on a relationship that's been difficult and hard and pushed you. And we might have been there before. You just want to kind of give up. And maybe a little bit further along, maybe a marriage that's just really difficult. And you go, I don't know if I want to stay in this marriage. And things have been happening over here. My friends over here, they kind of gave up. And it becomes easy to give up on a marriage. And for some people, it may be I want to give up on myself. You, in a certain area, you've tried and you tried and you tried. Maybe exercise or a diet, getting healthy, or a sin that you haven't been able to come up with a solution for, the way that you talk, and you've tried to change, and you haven't been able to, and it's tempting just want to walk away even from ourselves, right? Just say, I'm done working on that, and we know we're called to righteousness, but I'm nowhere near that, so it's easy to want to give up there. And then I know people, and you know people, and maybe you were there at some time, that want to give up on God. Like, they wanted to follow God, and like, they were going, okay, I'm following him, but then it got hard, or things didn't work out, or prayers weren't answered, and you're just ready to be done with God, and maybe you've been there before. And so let's just say together that we've all wanted to quit something important. And what do you do when you're there? And if you face it in the future, what are some things that you can do to help? And today we're going to look at a very specific story in the Bible. It's from Nehemiah. One of my favorite books in the whole Bible, because in this story, there's no overt miracles. All right, God is always at work, and there's no overt miracles. This is a group of people being led by God as he opens doors, as he moves in the background, but a group of people that were given this opportunity to quit, and they wanted to quit, but yet they overcame it as God worked in them. So this is a great book to look at. So we're going to end up in Nehemiah 4, and that's where we're going to mostly spend our time today. But to give you the background, in case you've never read Nehemiah, and you're going, where is it in the Bible? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the history section before the poetry section. Or just look at the table of contents, or go on the app and look that way, okay? So here's how the book goes. Nehemiah is set about 400 years before Jesus. Real persons involved. What has happened is this nation of Israel used to be one nation, okay? And then because they quit on God, let's be honest, they quit on God. And because they quit on God, the kingdom was split in two, where the northern kingdom even more quit on God, and so they were conquered by the Assyrians. God told them, if you turn away from me, bad things are going to happen. But the lower kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom, had Jerusalem. They stayed with God a little longer, but eventually they quit on God too. They said that we just want to go a different direction. We don't believe anymore. And because of that, God was going to discipline them. So the Babylonians came and conquered Judah, including the nation's capital, Jerusalem, where the temple was. And God had them conquered by the Babylonians, and then they got exiled. So what happened was the people left. They were forced to go away. And what happened, there's a lot of destruction that happened in Judah. A lot of things were happening there. And God said, for 70 years, you're going to be exiled. And then Persia conquered Babylon. And when that happened, then the people were allowed to come back home for a period of time. They were allowed to revisit and come back and settle there. And then when they did that, then Nehemiah, who's in the story, what happens with Nehemiah is he then hears from his brother. And his brother comes back from visiting Jerusalem, his hometown. And his brother says, this is what it was like. It was all destroyed. It was not like it used to be. The homes are all destroyed. The walls are destroyed. And this is bringing shame to God because he's the kingdom leader. And some of you grew up in hometowns where the town is not what it used to be. Businesses closed downtown. You kind of know what the feeling is, but can you kind of picture it all destroyed? And this is what his brother's telling him. And Nehemiah, who's an official there in this town called Susa, which is in modern-day Iran, he hears it and it breaks his heart. I mean, this is everything to him. His home country has been destroyed. And so he does what we can learn from. He begins to pray and he begins to fast. He begins to seek God. And in the midst of that, as he's doing all that, he begins to confess not only his own sins but the sins of his nation. And he prays for an opportunity. Not a miracle so much as an opportunity. And the thing is, Nehemiah had a job. He worked for the king. He was the king's cupbearer, which, you know, what kind of job is that? Is he just a waiter? No, what happened was he's in charge of all that the king had to drink from, like all the wine, the water. And in those days, in order to get rid of a king, you would poison him. So he is entrusting his whole life. The king, Artaxerxes, is trusting his whole life to Nehemiah. And he's a trusted friend. And Nehemiah goes into work, and king looks at Nehemiah and says, there's something wrong. You ever had that before where someone that's so upbeat, so like positive, and they come in, you could just see there's something wrong, something going on with them? So the king goes, what's going on? Nehemiah, and he tells a story. My brother came back, and the land was destroyed, and he takes this opportunity. He goes, I would like to go home. I'd like to take a break from work. I'd like to go home and rebuild, and I'm going to ask you to give me letters of transit so I can travel safely. And I also want a letter from you that would allow me to get resources. And the king agrees. I mean, again, God is working, just not overtly. God's working these opportunities. And so Nehemiah packs up. It's about a 900-mile trip, about 4 months. He goes to Jerusalem. He tours the city at night, sees all the walls are down. He sees everything. He gathers all the people together, and he says, guys, we're going to do a hometown renovation, okay? We're going to get everybody together. We're going to rebuild the place. We're going to start with the walls so we can protect. And they begin to work. And everything's going really well until chapter 4, okay? So if you have your Bibles, chapter 4, that's where we're going to sit mostly today in your small groups. You might end up looking at chapter 4. But in verse 6, it says this, so we rebuilt the wall until it reached half its height. So we got halfway through, for the people worked with all their heart. They got started well. And have you ever done that in your life where, like, it's New Year's Day and you make your resolutions and everything starts and you're excited on this diet you're going to do, this exercise regimen, you bought a gym membership, and then have you ever heard of Quitter's Friday? Do you know what Quitter's Friday is? It's an actual thing. It's the second Friday in January when almost everybody quits their resolutions. It's like 90% on Quitter's Friday. You got all started well, but then, boom, you quit. In a relationship, you ever heard the thing about the honeymoon is over? You know what I'm talking about? You get married, everything's great, most exciting thing in the world, and then they start doing things that grate on your nerves just a little bit, right? Ever happened to any of you guys? And then it gets a little bit harder, and so you get into it, and you're like, this is hard, I don't know. You ever got in the middle of a project, and things stop working like they used to? And a little bit of difficulty here or there, or have you ever been saving up money? You ever done this before? You're saving up money or getting out of debt, and something breaks, ever happened to you? And then it costs more than the money you've been saving, and you're like going, oh man, I'm gonna quit this because I gotta use this money here, and I don't have this money, and so you start wanting to quit about halfway through or a little bit into it. Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to me. And you go, okay, I'm just ready to be done, and you're only halfway through. This is what's happened to them. And we're going to look at four reasons they want to quit, and I want to see if you relate to any of these, okay? They're on your outline. Four reasons they wanted to quit, and four reasons that we may want to give up or quit too. And see if you can relate to these, because it's important to identify them so when they hit, you're not surprised, and you go, okay, this is part of it. So here's four reasons they wanted to quit. Same reasons that we might want to give up. Number one is this: there is opposition. Okay, so you're starting and then you hit opposition, and it normally is a person or a group of people. You ever thought about this happen to you where it's like, my job would be great except for the what? People. You ever felt that before? You just have certain people that rise up in opposition and you got to deal with it. This is what happened to them in Nehemiah 4, 7 and 8. It says, but when Sanballat and Tobiah, okay, two of their enemies, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion to it. So a group of people came and began to like just talk to them and try to discourage them and try to get them to stop working. And so maybe, and I've talked to some of you guys, and some of you guys are in a work environment that's toxic. Don't raise your hand, okay? And you go in and you just don't get along with the people. There's two or three that are causing trouble. And this starts to be a bad atmosphere. There's gossip, there's tearing down, there's criticism. And you're stuck there and you're going, okay, this used to be a good place, but it's not anymore. I'm not sure if I want to work here or not. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said someone just kind of rose up against them and began to saying things about them and about their character and who they were. And it's like that, you know, got them thinking, is this a good place to work? Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you're in a relationship where it used to be really solid and then suddenly they turned on you and you went from being good friends or spouses and suddenly you're enemies and you're going, what happened here? What happened to the people here? Maybe you had a really great neighbor and they put the for sale sign. You ever had this happen to you? They're like, don't move. You're the world's greatest neighbor. And they leave and the next person in is not a great neighbor. And you're going, I don't know if I want to live in this place anymore. I'm not sure. Opposition can rise up in any kind of way, but it usually involves people who don't want you to continue what you're doing in life. They may be critical of you. They may suggest things to you that you don't want to do. They may get you or try to get you to break your integrity. They may try to get you moving in a different direction than God wants you to go. It may be a suggestion, it may be a criticism, but they're trying to pull you the opposite direction. That's opposition, right? And it could be a human being, but there's also the spiritual battle that we're all in. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says this, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You and I are in a battle. We have an adversary who does not want us to live for Christ. And this adversary wants us to be discouraged and wants us to quit on the things that God wants us to do. One of the ways they do that is get you, the adversary, Satan wants you to take your eyes off of God. He wants to suggest shortcuts. He wants to get you looking at what's not working instead of what God is doing. And he will do anything to get you to quit on your marriage, on your character, on your fulfilling of calling. And he will be in opposition to you. And you may hear it out of the voices of someone else around you, but it's him. And sometimes you have that internal voice that's telling you to quit, and it's telling you to stop, and it's saying to give up. And you hear this over and over. It's played. And this, you have to recognize that you're in a spiritual battle. And there will be opposition whenever you're trying to follow Jesus, all the time. And you have to recognize it, because that's why you want to quit internally and spiritually, is because that opposition is happening. He wants you to take the wrong path. He wants you to go in the wrong direction. He wants you to stop what God's called you to do. So that's the first thing they were facing, was opposition. Number two is sometimes we just get tired. They got tired, we get tired. We get tired of where we're trying to go. We get tired of trying to do the right thing. We get weary and tired. George Patton said this, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Have you ever heard that before? When you're tired, you just want to stop. When things are going too hard, you just want to give up, right? You're just going, I'm done. I don't have any strength. I was good before this. Now I'm worn out, and I don't think I can keep going. In Nehemiah, again, chapter 4, 9 and 10, it says, we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day and night. So they did the right thing. We're having these enemies, so they set up a guard. They prayed. But then it says this, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. You ever felt your strength failing? You start to give in. You start to make compromises. You just get so tired, you don't want to get up in the morning and go to work. You don't want to go home and deal with issues. You get tired of constantly trying every day, and it just wears on you after a while. It's not just one day, it's 2 days, it's a week, it's a month, it's a year of doing the same thing, and you go, I'm just tired. They got tired. People noticed it. And when you get tired, you want a way out. You begin dreaming of sitting on the beach, not just for a day or a week or a month, but for the rest of your life. I just want that release. And you know God's not calling you to that. Maybe he will call you to that. Maybe he's called you to be a missionary to people on the beach. Wouldn't that be great? But for most of us, that's not the calling. It's not the calling. And we get tired, and we just want to stop. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you get tired of serving Christ. Maybe you get tired of ministry, and like you're just waiting for God to do something. That's what happened to them. That's number two. Number three, maybe you can relate to this one. There are just too many issues to deal with. There's just too many issues to deal with. You're good with one thing. You're good with two things. You can handle three. Four is a little bit on the edge, but when you get to five things going on at the same time, it gets to be too much. You go to work. It's toxic there. You go home, there's issues there. Somebody's sick. Somebody didn't come through with something they said they were going to do. You're delayed over there, and that person said it was going to happen on a certain time, and it didn't, and you're just kind of done. God's not answering your request the way you want him to on the specific time. You get a bad diagnosis, and like you were good, but then the car broke down, and it was just one too many things, and you're stuck, or a bill comes in you didn't expect. And some of you can feel the weight of it now. Some of you are there right now where it's like, I just got too much going on, too much to deal with. And that's when it's easy to want to quit. Go back to verse 10, Nehemiah 4:10. It said, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. Then it says this, there's just too much rubble. Rubble is the junk, right? Rubble is like everything broken, and you can't rebuild till you clean up the rubble. You have to do that first. If you've ever done a renovation job, anybody ever done a renovation job and it just got out of hand and the thing you had to do was rebuild, but you had to tear the stuff down first and the stuff is everywhere. It used to be neatly up and now like the drywall's down in the or the bathroom's torn up and you got to clean up all the mess before you can start renovating. That's what's happening to them. And they said, there's just too much of it. There's too many issues. If it just was fixing the walls, we'd be okay, but I got to clean up the junk. What is the junk you have to clean up? What are the issues that you're dealing with? It's just one too many at the time. And it can wear on you. It can be hard. It can be a burden. And you go, okay, God, I was good at one. I was good at two. I was good at three. It was starting to stress me a little bit. But now I'm at four. I'm at my level. And now the fifth thing hit. And I just don't think I can go on. That's where they are. Rubble is simply brokenness. Sometimes at work, your coworker is not able to come through because they're having issues in their marriage and it's starting to spill over. Or they party so hard on the weekend, they come in on Monday and they're just no good and you've got to get more out of them. And so their brokenness goes into your brokenness. Some of you have family members that their brokenness is coming into your life and they're not keeping things the way they're supposed to. They're not fulfilling things. They don't want to hang out. They're creating more issues. You've got your own issues. They bring their issues to your table, and you go, I'm having a hard time just juggling my stuff, and now I've got to juggle your stuff too, and your strength was only enough barely for yours, and some of you have been there, and you're going, okay, I got too much, and something's got to quit. And I've either got to quit this, I got to quit this. And you got to really look around and go, okay, what am I going to do with all this stuff? All this rubble. You can picture the rubble of the city and you can relate it to how it fits in your life. And that's exactly where they were. Too much rubble. We just want to quit. And that leads to number four. Maybe you felt like this. It feels like we're going to fail. Number four is it just feels like we're going to fail. Like, okay, I had like this job and I'm moving forward. Everything looked good. And now I don't think this is going to work. I think we're going to get sold. I think we're going to lay off. I think this is going to be tough. You look at your marriage, I just can picture out 10 years from now, we're not working, it's not gonna go, so I'm just gonna end it now and get it over with. I'm not gonna be able to get out of debt, so I'm just gonna give up on it. I'm not gonna try anymore. What's the purpose of it? It's just gonna cost me too much, so we're just gonna quit. I'm just gonna put more on the card and just be finished with that. Your relationship with Jesus, I can't do it. I've tried, and it's not working. And so I'm just going to stop doing that. If I can just take that off the table, I'll just focus on me and my own issues. I mean, we've all been there, right? This is where they are. They were just ready to believe that it's not going to work. Verses 10 through 12, we go back to verse 10. Again, it said in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear their burdens is failing. They're getting tired. There's too much rubble, too much issues. Then it says, by ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. It's not going to happen. We got a third of the way up. We got a half of the way up, but I don't think the rest of it's going to happen, so let's just stop now. That's where they were in verse 10. And then they go on and say, and our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. Not only with that happening, but now the enemies are going to come in. They're not going to know who they are, and they're going to start killing us, and we're getting afraid. And at that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. What's going on? The people who lived out the city were going, don't try that anymore. Give up on that dream of rebuilding. We're living outside the city. Just come live with us. And how many times did they say it? 10 times. It's somebody coming to you and they're going, this isn't going to work. I think it is. No, it's not going to work. Next day, they tell you it's not going to work. This marriage is not working. This relationship's not working. What we're doing is not working. So you're good at 2, you're good at 3, again, 10 times, and it starts to sink in. They don't believe, they don't think God's working, and so it starts to add up, and they just begin to not picture a good future. They lost their hope. And when you lose your hope, you're done, right? You're toast. And that's exactly where they are. We don't think this is going to work. We're tired. There's too much rubble. There's opposition. We're done. All right, so that's the first part of the message. Are you like defeated now? Are you overwhelmed? I was worried about this part because like, you know, I'm gonna look around and going, yeah, I'm feeling the weight, I'm there, I'm ready to quit. I'm just gonna walk out, I'm just gonna keep going. I'm gonna hit 67. I'm going as far as the mountains and then I'm gonna keep going. So hopefully you're not there. So they didn't stop there. It wouldn't be in the Bible, right, if there wasn't a positive, something God's gonna do and he does something. So let's look at that. What did they do when they wanted to quit, and what do we learn from it, and how do we apply it? So here's 4 things that they did to transition. Here's the 4 things they did. What do I do when I feel like giving up? Number 1 on your outline, identify the problem areas and bring in people to help. Identify the problem areas and bring in people to help. So in other words, probably not all of it's bad, just some of it's not going. Does it make sense? So this is probably good, but we've lost sight of this, and this is good over here. My health is good maybe, but this isn't good. Focus on the areas that aren't good and bring in help, okay? What are the problem areas? What are the weak areas? What are the vulnerable areas? Work on that. Reduce the big problem to a smaller problem. That's what they did in verse 13. So in the lower parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, so they look at the wall, where's the holes? Where's the holes? I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I put people there in the weak places. At your work, it's not going well. Is it a system issue? Like things aren't flowing right. Is there something you can do at your work to focus on that? Can you bring people in to help you? In a relationship, is it communication? Right? It becomes this fight, but it's really about communication. You say X, they hear Y, right? And you keep trying to say X, they're hearing Y, and you just can't communicate. That's a communication issue. Do you try to do your finances and it just never works, that's a financial issue. Do you have the skill to take care of these? Is that a skill issue? Is it an information issue? I don't have enough information to make a decision. I don't know any more options than what I can see in front of me. And actually, I don't think I have any options, but you do, you just can't see them. Identify the issue. And whatever that issue is, whatever the problem is, kind of attack that. That's what they did. Now, how do you bring in people? Well, here's what you do. You go and go, here's the issue, communication issue. I need to talk to people about the way we communicate. I need to bring people in because we're just not, there's a problem in our company. We're not communicating well. So I'm going to bring in somebody that can help me on that. I'm having a problem in my marriage. Well, on March the 22nd, there's a marriage conference. You can just say, I'm going with the Norrises. You don't have to identify the problem, right? We're just going to go, and we're going to sit, and we're going to say, God, we're going to soak in, and you're going to teach us something there because you have something for us. It was a financial issue. There's people at the church that are willing to sit down with you and help you work on a budget. We have people that are just dying to do that. We also have people that are willing to help on marriages or pre-marriages and just sit down with you, and let's work this thing through. Is it a spiritual issue? We have people here, including me. I'd love to sit down and we'll go, tell me what you're dealing with, and let's help each other. But bring in people you trust, and that's the big thing. It's got to be someone you trust. If you're at a place of work, it's toxic. There's going to be a remnant that God has put there beside you. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Elijah said, I'm the only believer here. That's not true. There's probably at least one more. Go 10 minutes early with that person. Go, let's pray. Let's pray. And just begin praying over the company. You don't have to have a solution. You just have a person that will help you find the solution to Christ. Don't just wait to quit and give up. Find that person. Guys, this is a mess. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me on my family? I don't know how to solve it. But you identify the area and then bring in people that can help you. I've told you before, I have people that I call, like one of them very regularly. And there's a pastor, and I go, what are you dealing with? And he'll tell me what he's dealing with. And I tell him, this is what I'm dealing with. And we bounce ideas. We pray for each other. I've got a group of three pastors we meet with monthly. This week, we met on Wednesday. One of the guys walked in. You could see it on his face. He sat down and go, I got a problem. All right, we're eating lunch, but you start. Half hour. I've got this. I'm dealing with this. I don't know how to do it. So we sat there and just listened. And then we prayed. And then we said, okay, we're going to ask you some questions. And we began to draw out for him what the real issue was. What he thought was the issue wasn't the issue. And then we found out what the issue was. And we kind of said, now look at it this way. He had a meeting this week and with this person he's having an issue with. And we said, we're going to pray for you. What time's the meeting? 6 o'clock. We're going to pray at 6 o'clock. On the next day, I text him, how did it go? It went much better than I thought. And we're on a much better path now. But instead of just being worried and being overwhelmed, he brought in people, he brought in friends, we brought in God. You may not have the answers for how to solve your problems. But when you identify this is the problem area and bring in other people, you'll see solutions instead of trying it by yourself. That's number one thing. Identify the problem area and bring in people to help. Number two, this one's big. Put your focus on God and not on your problems. Here's what happens when you want to quit. All you see is the problems, right? You ever been there before? All you see are the problems. This isn't going right. This isn't going right. This isn't going right. And we forget God. And we look at everything that's chaos. We look at all the rubble. Here's the rubble. Here's the rubble. But then there's God. That's one of the reasons we want to quit. We forget that there's a God who's bigger than our problems. Verse 14 says, he said, and I looked and rose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, don't be afraid of our enemies. And look what he said. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. When you look at the Lord, your problems will shrink because he's great and awesome. Right? You want to quit because in your strength you can't make it work. You forget about in his strength all things are possible. Here's what you do. You look back and you remember the Lord. What has he done in the past? What are some issues he's brought you through before? How did he arrange things before? What promises has he kept? What prayers has he answered? When did you feel like on top of the world? You look back and go, I remember God. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus and everything was seemed so easy. It's gotten harder, but I remember that, and he is faithful and he will continue to be faithful. Look back. Then look around you. Where is God working? Find where God is working near you and go, okay, he is working. It's over here. It's over here. My problems are here, but I'm going to look at where he's working. Then look inside. Do what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah began to confess. This is huge. Are there areas in your life that are the real problems and not the people around you? Have you lost your faith? Have you doubted God? Is there a sin in your life that's causing you to turn away? Is it causing you to see things wrong? Is it pride? Is it lust? Is it a sense of, I don't really think God can do anything? You need to identify that and confess it, because the problem may not be the problem. It may be a heart issue. And so you're going, okay, God, show me what you're doing. And then, once you've looked inside, you look forward with God's promises in hand and God's power in hand and go, God, I can't see the future, but I can see that you can make it work. Look back, remember what God's done. Look around you. Where is God working? Look inside for areas you need to confess. Look forward with faith that he's going to work it in a way you have no idea how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And trust him and keep your eyes on him, because he wants to work. So put your focus on God and not your problems. Number three thing they did was decide that some things are worth fighting for. Decide that some things are worth fighting for. Some things are worth quitting. Let's be honest, some things are worth quitting. They're not moving you forward, they're not God's calling in your life. Some things are worth quitting, some things are worth fighting for. To go back to verse 14, the second part of this, he says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And then he says this, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. There's some things worth fighting for, right? Your marriage is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. Your grandchildren are worth fighting for. You go to your job and you go, I don't like my job. Is God using that to take care of your family? Okay, you're not really there to make money for the company. You're taking care of your family, right? It's worth fighting for. Is your character worth fighting for? Yeah, your character is worth fighting for. Is your reputation worth fighting for? Yeah. Your relationship with Jesus worth fighting for? Yeah. Does it make sense? You go, some things are worth fighting for, and I'm going to put my time and energy in those. I'm going to fight for them. And I may have to do some things that are hard, but I'm not just going to throw up my hands. For 70 years, the people did not work on the walls of the church. The walls of the city, they didn't think it was worth fighting for. Nehemiah comes in and goes, it's worth fighting for. This is your family. This is your legacy. This is the future you're fighting for. Stay in it. Keep fighting. Keep building. Keep working. Don't give up. He goes on and just, you know, says a little bit later in chapter 6, and it's one of my favorite verses. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. He's still trying to convince them, and he writes this, Nehemiah 6, 2 and 3, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, and these are his enemies, saying, come and let us meet together at Hakkapharim in the place of Ono. The enemies, he said, come on, move away from your work. Let's meet. But they intended to do me harm. Your enemy will say, come on, let's go do this thing. Let's go experience this. And it's not for your good. It may be to destroy your marriage. It may be to destroy your relationship with Jesus. These guys were trying to get him away from what God called him to do. He says, come on out here. And he says, but they intended to do harm. And in verse 3, and I sent messengers to them, and I said this, and this is a thing to get in your heart and mind. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop? Why leave it and come down to you? I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, you're doing a great work. You're doing a great work, and you cannot come down to do other things. That's where God's placed you. If you got a job that's hard, if your job is hard and yet you're doing take care of your family, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. I'm following Jesus, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. If you're protecting your character because your work is unethical, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. I cannot come down. I am focused on what God's called me to do. I'm not coming down. That's what Nehemiah said, and that's where he wants us. I believe God wants us that if you're called to do it, do it. If you're in school and God is equipping you, you're doing a great work and you cannot come down. You need to finish the work. That's what God's saying to us now. And that really is about decide that some things are worth fighting for and do that. And that leads us to number four and the last one. Get back to work and let God fight your battles. Get back to work and let God fight your battles. When you want to quit, one of the most important things you can do is get up the next day and go back to work. Get back up and continue to follow Jesus, but let God fight. Look at the next verse, 15 through 20, in chapter 4. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. They got back to work. They wanted to quit. They wanted to give up. And the next day they go, we're getting back to work. We got to finish this. And everybody did that. Tomorrow, the most spiritual thing you may do is get up and go to work. The most spiritual thing you may do tomorrow is go take care of your kids at home. It may be to go take care of your grandkids. It may be to get up and have devotions. It says in the next passage, from that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and coats of mail. And the leader stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. So they began to work and fight at the same time. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. And the man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. And then verse 20. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us and say this, our God will fight for us. I love this. It's like, let's get back to work. We're fighting a spiritual battle. So let's go to work and fight the spiritual battle. Go in armed. That's what they did. Go in armed. I've got the sword. I've got the shield of faith. I'm ready to go battle at my work. And I'm going to go do my work, but I'm going to fight at the same time. Go home. Work on your marriage. Fight the battle that Satan has for you there and put some effort into it. But let God win the battle. He said, it's not up to us, it's up to God. And here's one of the things that happens when we want to quit. You're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to do it yourself. You're taking all the burden and all the worry and all the anxiety and all the frustrations and you're trying to win the battle yourself. That's why we want to quit, because we've reached our limit. And Nehemiah is saying, God will win the battle. He will fight for us. In Exodus 14:14, you know the story. The Egyptians had let the Israelites go free. They were out of slavery. They're heading toward freedom. They get up to the Red Sea. They're kind of trapped. The Egyptian army is coming, and Moses stops and says in Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. You cannot change your company. God can. You cannot change your spouse's heart. God can. You can't change the culture around you. God can. You can't solve some of your financial issues on your own at times, but God can. You can't solve the battle on the interior, which is that righteousness battle, but Jesus can. You cannot accomplish all that you need to accomplish on your own, or you wouldn't need God. Sometimes, every time, you need to stop and go, I am not able to do this, but God can. We only have to be silent. Doesn't mean we stop working. We just don't try to win the battle. We let God do that. The way the story ends, at least the building part in Nehemiah 6:15, says this, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. It wasn't a long project, just not even 2 months. They wanted to quit about halfway. but in 52 days it was over. If you've ever had to battle the not quitting battle, and you've gotten the other side, you look back and you, what do you say? I saw it worked. God worked. It ended, right? I've come through it. You will get through it. It will end. You will look back and go, man, I saw what God did. And sometimes it's hard in the middle to see it, but at the end you can go back and look and go, God did this. Our key verse for this whole series, I want to end on this, Philippians 4:13. You guys know it, right? We've gone through it. We go through it every week. But when you want to quit, instead say this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to quit. I don't have to quit. Let's say that together because we need the encouragement. You guys ready? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was really weak, so we're going to say it again. All right, you ready? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. Let him strengthen you for the battle. Let him show you that he's going to fight. And let's let him give us the strength. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the difficulties that we go through because they push us, they stretch us. It calls us to turn to you. It will pass. Nehemiah at the end probably looked back and said, this too will pass, and it did. 52 days later, they had their answer. For some of us, I feel, God, you're going to end something really quick here. You're going to get us through an issue. It's going to get better very soon. For other people, it may take a while. For other people, it may be years. We're just going to have to rely on your strength. So we ask for your strength today, Father, for each person in the room, that instead of wanting to quit what you've called us to do, we'll give it our strength added to your immense power, which is all that matters. Lift our spirits today, Father. Lift our eyes. May we see you at work. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.